Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Got a very, very interesting show today. I'm going to start out with Jim McKinney and then move on with Jim McKinney and Dan Pacini. With Pacini, we're going to devote the second half to the COVID situation. In the first half, though, we're going to talk about three topics. Number one, obviously, is COVID, what's going on with people's enthusiasm or lack of their enthusiasm in getting immunized. Number two, we're going to talk a little bit about homeschooling. And number three, we're going to talk a little bit about the bill that the Democrats are trying to run through to, as they say, improve the government. By the way, if this bill, we are recording at 9 o'clock on Friday morning Pacific time. If this bill happens to pass or not pass, after we are done recording, we're going to do a weekend special on that very topic. Jimmy, let's start out talking about the bill. Your answer.
Well, I think the Democrats have faced internal challenges on two fronts. First is the progressives, they want more. They want more control. They want more Green New Deal policies. They want more payoffs to their very specific constituencies in order to gain more federal power for the government. And you've got that side that wants more, the Bernie Sanders, AOC wing. And then you've got the Joe Manchin's, Kyrsten Sinema, Arizona and West Virginia. They are, you know, moderate Democrats with, you know, pretty conservative states that strongly, you know, went with a more, you know, states' rights policies. And they're saying, no, this is way too much money, $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill that basically pays off unions and pays off constituents and then attempts to reshape the entire U.S. economy is not going to fly in their views. So the Democrats are facing this. The Biden administration came up with this, you know, this policy. You've got Nancy Pelosi, who said she's going to, you know, she was going to be able to push this through. That's failed for her. It's a real internal fight. The problem is the Republicans are not strong enough right now to actually, you know, shape the outcome here. And that's where America is going to be beholden to some of these incredibly expensive and unmanageable long-term damaging economic policies and budget. And I think it's kind of a very difficult situation for all of us to watch.
Jimmy, I have to tell you, I'm seeing some indications, some fairly strong indications that we have a bit of a rebellion in our country right now in terms of people want to see things changing. They don't necessarily want all Republicans or all Democrats, but they're sick and tired of what's going on in our country. We're going to be talking about that a little bit in the next segment. But this particular bill is a perfect example of how America is changing. Got a couple of other issues. We've got American society really starting not support public education and really starting to support homeschooling, number one. And obviously, number two, we have a tremendous disinterest and a tremendous lack of trust in the Dr. Fauci's of America. And people are showing that by simply not getting immunized. We're going to talk about that at length in the second half of the show with our buddy Dan Pacenti. Having said that, you and I were chatting off mic this morning. You think the odds of this bill passing, the only way that this bill could pass is if Nancy Pelosi convinces the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's of the world that they can't get as much money as they want. I think that's probably the way this thing is going to shake out. I think Cortez and her cohorts are going to say, okay, we can't have that much money, but at least we have a start. You think I'm crazy or do you think that's correct, Jim?
Well, I think it's possible. I think that the other probability is exactly how the corrupt swamp works in D.C. They'll continue to find payoffs and write in specific financial incentives for these districts that are in question right now. And I think in the end, that's exactly what it's about. It's going to be about who can, you know, pay off and get that vote by some sort of corrupt means. I think your point, you know, Americans are getting kind of fed up with it. They're actually the wool's being pulled down over people's eyes by the media, but there's a bunch of people that are starting to lift up to say, wait a second, what is going on? There's no question that what the policies that this kind of progressive push is moving towards are more actually Soviet style. I mean, communist socialist ideologies. And I think Americans are like, wait a second, you know, what about free market? What about, you know, me getting my job? Why is the government dictating all these policies? Why are they? And I think that's beginning. The pushback is beginning to start. And I think they're going to try to pay for the bill. They're going to try to get people, you know, Nancy Pelosi does it with money and influence. And that's what she's going to try to do. I don't know if they're going to be successful or not. I honestly hope they are. They fail miserably at it because this is just way too costly for America. We don't have the money. We're already incredibly deep in debt, and the possibility for them to reshape our entire economic system is just way too dangerous.
It's way too dangerous. And I got to tell you, Jim, as a former banker, I have to say that if the United States was applying for a loan and I were on the loan committee of the bank, as I was numerous times during my career at American Pacific Bank, I would have to say that that loan, the vote on that loan from Al Cornyn would be a resounding not granted. And that's how bad our country is today economically. I think it's up to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to have to convince Alexander Ocasio-Cortez and the rest of the crew that economically this thing just cannot happen. If they're going to be successful, I think that the Republicans, that's basically strike one in the batter's box against the Republicans. But I really don't think that's going to happen. One thing I think Nancy Pelosi...
Hey.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Jimmy, go.
Oh, no, I just wanted to... I wanted to add, you know, I think, you know, there are Republicans that get that buy into this payoff system as well. And that's the problem. You know, they're unwilling to stand up and especially if there's some specific interest. And that's where we've got to find more unity and actually people electing people to office that are willing to work to undermine these payoffs rather than to support them. And of course, I think that's the bigger problem that we're facing right now is there's too many Republicans that say one thing, but they'll vote another way if in fact they get a little payoff out of it. And that's just, to me, is awful. But the more important thing that really people need to understand is how far this administration, the Biden administration, is willing to go to change our entire economy. That he is nominating, Joe Biden's team is nominated a Cornell University law professor, Soli Omarova, who actually went to Moscow State University and graduated in 1989. And she constantly praises the former Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. And she wants to be the comptroller of this currency. That's how far this administration has gone to basically push socialist agendas. And people got to wake up to it.
Jim, I got to tell you, I simply don't understand why the press isn't coming out and bringing these factors up. That's a clear indication, in my opinion, of exactly where President Biden is coming from. And I'm sure that's a clear indication, couldn't be clearer, of where the vice president is also coming from. They seem to think that totalitarian government, i.e. communism, etc., is a good thing. But what we're going to be talking about, and then as soon as we take a commercial break here, is how clear evidence how America is right now coming down and standing against that. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. Jim McKinney and I will be right back in less than 30 seconds.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back here to wrap up the first half of the Cortland Economics Report. Jim and I are chatting about what's going on in the United States right now. We've been focusing on the budget bill that is not having any luck whatsoever passing. We've been focusing on a couple of other things that we're going to elaborate on here during this segment. The United States citizens are truly not supporting many of the most important things in our society right now. The first one is they're really not supporting public education as much as they could be. What's going on there? Well, what's going on is pure and simple. Homeschooling has gone up 300% recently for a variety of reasons. Religion is one of them, and I would have to say that I believe, taking it one step farther, the lack of faith in public education is absolutely going down the tube right now. Jimmy, what do you think about that?
So there's a couple of things that are happening here beyond what you're talking about. My wife's on the school board here locally, and bottom line is, the teachers are not providing the services needed for kids' future, and that's primarily because of draconian lockdowns by the the tyrannical leader of Washington State, the guy that's now taken total control without legislative support, Jay Inslee. And so what they've done, parents are saying, look, I've got to get my kids educated, and I don't need them in a mask all day because there's no risk to them, and they need to have an education that'll get them somewhere. My kids are, my son just graduated last year, valedictorian of the high school. He's out at Clemson University. He's finding that what they provided him here was weak. It was weak. And he was a straight A, AP type student. Yep. My junior right now, my junior, she's facing the same issues. So we even, very involved in the school, we're questioning what the heck is going on in Washington State. And what I think is happening is, there is a lot of, Christians that have, begun homeschooling, but there's a lot of left people on the left that actually want to make sure their kids get the best education as possible. And the unions in this state are undermining the ability for the districts to provide the right education. And of course, with gender studies at kindergarten in this state, with the diversity training, putting in transgender bathrooms for K through five, you gotta be kidding me. People are just like, wait a second, this is nuts. They're just not supporting it anymore. And it's gonna cost the districts, and it's gonna cost the unions, I think, in the long run. But there's two Americas out there. There's the West Coast and New York America, and then there's the rest of the country, and things are different in the rest of the country.
Very definitely. Jimmy, when our two younger daughters were ready to go to school, we did not send them to public schools, given the fact that Kathy actually started a department within the school system that we lived in. We discussed sending them to that particular public school system. We didn't have any money. I had just started my company. It was really, really a stretch. Our kids went to private schools for exactly what you're talking about. I don't want some do-gooder explaining to my daughter when she's in kindergarten or the first grade what gender studies are all about. That's something for me to do and for my wife to do, not them, and particularly not at that age. Let's go on to another area where I'm seeing a total lack of support, Jim, and I'll tell you where that is, and that is in the area of COVID immunization. Now, I decided that I would get immunized, but that's my decision. That's not the government's decision, Jim. That's my decision. I got immunized. Am I going to get a booster shot? Probably. But the fact of the matter is, my fellow residents here in Washington State, Jim, are definitely not following suit. And I know that you're not following suit. And I have to tell you, that's your choice. I don't think any less or any more of you because you're doing that. And I hope you don't think any less or any more of me. I know that Irish Tony does. I know that many of our regular listeners on the blog are going to call me a fool for getting immunized. But the fact of the matter is, damn it, we live in a free country, and I can do whatever I want as long as I don't affect anybody else. But we are seeing a total lack of enthusiasm for this government action. I'd like you to elaborate on that, Jim, if you would.
Yeah, we've talked about this a couple of times before, and I look at it this way. something is wrong if the federal government is mandating vaccines to companies over 100 employees, mandating all federal employees, all soldiers, all borders and customs individuals get vaccinated, but not talking about natural immunity,
right,
and not talking about treatments and the capability of and the positiveness of treatments. The fear porn industry, the media and the government have been scaring the crap out of people with this COVID. And a lot of people that actually listen to mainstream media, they don't understand how this disease is not as deadly as that, you know, a lot of these media pundits say it is. I mean, it's a 99% recovery rate. And of course, if you're in a category like you, an older category, somebody that risk, hey, it makes perfect sense. Make your choice. Take the vaccine if you wish. There's very little, you know, downside with it. But there is some downside. And that's the reality. There is downside, especially for younger people taking it. The risk of myocarditis for young males is higher than the risk of COVID by a long way. And the fact is the media porn industry, when I say the media porn industry, I mean the fear factor, the people that are scaring the heck out of Americans to where, as I say, and I think I'll talk about it in the show a little bit later, but a guy in a, you know, driving down the road, N95 masked by himself, texting while he's driving, he's got a probably 10 times more likely, you know, even though he's in his 40s, of dying from texting while driving, maybe 20 times higher probability of death than he does from any COVID issues. It's just, you know, we've gone overboard. The Biden administration is not trusted. Anthony Fauci is not trusted. And so Americans are saying, wait a second, wake up. What the heck is going on? You can't make me do this.
You know, the comment I want to make about Dr. Fauci is purely and simply, I'd like everyone who has any interest in what Jimmy and I are talking about right now, listen to the discourse. I believe you can watch it on YouTube between Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci. It also got it obviously got very, very testy. Fauci called Rand Paul a liar and someone who didn't know what he was talking about, and that's all on the record. Let me tell you, I don't know Rand personally, but I know his dad, Ron, personally, and I'll tell you, the Paul family are not a group of liars. They are a group of people who really, really, truly care about the future of the United States. And I'll be very, very interested to see where Rand's political career goes as this thing progresses. Ladies and gentlemen, a real quick break here for the top of the news. Going to be right back with Dan Pacini and Jim McKinney.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. This is KE Reports Politics Weekend Special. Now on the phone, we've got Dan Placenti, our financial man out of the Bay Area, or at least down in that area, trying to hide out and survive. Al's on the line, and this is Jim McKinney. And we're talking about what's going to happen and what's happening right now with lockdowns, with labor, with the federal requirements for mandatory vaccinations, with the Biden regime's policies to penalize businesses with over 100 employees if they do not force vaccinations for the employees. And then inside their $3.5 trillion boondoggle budget, actually putting penalties in there at up to $700,000 an incident for businesses that fail to follow their draconian orders. And so, you know, I guess I am absolutely astounded at how far this administration is willing to go to force mandates. and how negatively it's going to impact not only the labor economy, but individual rights and civil liberties in this nation. But I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on it, Dan, if you could go ahead and bring us up to date what you think and what you've seen and heard.
Well, good to be with you guys. I got to tell you, we have to decide as Americans whether we're a free people or not. I mean, we have to occasionally take a little bit of time and decide who runs the government. Is it us or is it them? And who are these people? The arrogance of these people that they can come in and they know all truth. They know everything. They know what science is. They know what science is going to tell us at a future date. And so they feel like they can, from their perch, they can tell us what to do, how to behave, and what to put in our bodies. We just have to decide as Americans whether we're a free people or not. And you watch the footage from Canada and Australia and places like that, and lesser countries that are, you know, dictatorships, and you watch how they just own their people, and they tell them what to do, and they restrict them from doing basic things. We have paralyzed ourselves by allowing these people to just run roughshod over us. The answer is no. It's no. We will not submit to these things. We will make these judgments. If companies want to make it as a condition of business that you must be vaccinated or you must get this testing at this period of time and this however frequently, then that's fine. That's a condition of business. They're private businesses. They can do that. I don't care for that, but if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. But the government has no role in this. They have no business in this. And as I've discussed in previous spots, the federal government has zero role in this. The states might have a hand in this, but really this is a decision for the people.
You know,
Jimmy, let me just jump in for a second. Every doctor who I have spoken to has said exactly the same thing to me. They have said it's a personal choice. My question at this point is purely and simply, what facts, F-A-C-T-S, do we have that the COVID immunization is not negative for human beings in any way, shape, or form? And what facts do we have that the immunization truly, truly is an important enough addition to our body because it works? It will save the lives of people. What facts do we have that that's the case? Either one of you guys go ahead and take this.
Well, I definitely want to address that. Last night I read a very interesting article discussing, it was basically a doctor that had done research on the VIRS, the reporting system. And he was talking specifically about the number of negative events from the vaccination. And he compared it against flu. He compared it against vaccinations over the last 50 years. I think it's close to 50 or at least 30 years that they've had the VIRS reporting system in place. You're hearing the media say, well, it's not accurate. And in fact, that's true because it's self-reporting. It's doctors reporting. Individuals can report based on it. But what they don't say is that, in fact, the information that's being provided is actually fairly accurate, and the CDC knows it. And what he was saying is it's ideally just a warning system to do more research. And what they're finding is that the number of deaths for the vaccination is 91 times, not 91%, 91 times higher than all other vaccination protocols since they began testing. 91 times higher for deaths for the vaccine. He said, now, in any way you look at that, that's a huge warning sign and you should be doing the research. But what we know is that Pfizer, when they were given FDA approval a month ago in order to justify this the vaccine to be mandatory, they actually have injected all their case subjects, all people that were known to be that were given a placebo rather than the vaccine. They gave them all the vaccine. So there's no long study, no long-term study in order to analyze what the real ramifications are of these vaccines. And that Americans should be absolutely afraid of. Absolutely afraid of.
Danny, jump in here. You got about 4 minutes.
Yeah, you know, so I would say that is the answer. The fact of the matter is we don't know what the safety profile is of these vaccines because they were on an abbreviated schedule to be approved, first as an emergency vaccine and then later an approval for one of them, and so and the approvals are going to dribble in. But it's on a much shorter schedule, so we don't know. But the nuanced answer is that every human walking the earth is different. We're all
yes.
different. Some of us can handle a vaccine. Some of us might look like we can handle the vaccine, and maybe we can't because of the way that our body works. Maybe we can't. But a lot of people have other conditions that don't make them suitable for the vaccine. So it's not the government's role to come in and just tell everybody, hey, you must have this. I watched our Giants, San Francisco Giants, play last night, and on the field it says, get vaxxed. Honestly, look where we are, where a baseball team is telling humans to put a medicine in their bodies. It's stunning where we've come to, how political this is. No our baseball fighting. Team should be in the business of telling people what to do medically. So
or Stephen
this
Colbert
is where we are.
Yeah, Stephen Colbert on TV doing, you know, little dance routines of get the vax, get the vax. I mean, this is insanity. You know, what the heck is
happening? They should be humiliated by this behavior. Absolutely
no,
humiliated.
Now, here,
they are being supported. I'm a financial person, so I don't want to give advice one way or the other for people, but I would like to respect their rights. And they do have rights in this circumstance. They should be able to say, hey, listen, from what I've read, from what I've seen, the fact that it's untested, and knowing my body, I just don't want to do it. And we should respect that decision because we're going through this where the vaxxed people are pointing out the non-vaxxed, like a Dr. Seuss story here. And these poor non-vaxxed people, they aren't any more threat to the vaxxed people than a vaxxed person is. Everybody can still get the virus. These vaccines are losing their ability to protect us against the disease. So everyone can carry it. Everyone can pass it, whether they're vaxxed or not. Maybe it's a little higher for one or the other. That remains to be seen. But the fact of the matter is people should be respected. And if you as a vaxxed person don't like the people that are unvaxxed, hate them, which sounds like we're getting to, then stay away from them or keep your distance or practice greater controls in your own life if you want to. But this has gotten to insane proportions.
Well, that's I can't agree any more strongly. I am so tired of hearing that the unvaccinated are risking everybody else's life. Heck no. If you're
Jimmy, got to put you over to the next half. Ladies and gentlemen, a real quick commercial break. Be right back. Jimmy, you got the mic again. Go ahead and continue.
Yeah, so I am absolutely just tired of hearing that the unvaccinated are risking the vaccinated's lives. If you're afraid of the virus, if you're vaccinated, then and you're still afraid of the virus, then you need to go hide. You know, if that's your issue, that's your responsibility. Why does the rest of the world have to bow down and protect you because of your fear? Yesterday, this was amazing to me. I'd love to send the video or the picture out, but I took my wife to the airport. I'm driving up Interstate 5 on my way just towards Vancouver, just a few miles from our house. And here's a guy in the left lane, the fast lane on I-5 heading north in a Honda Civic. He's got a full-on N95 respirator by himself in his car. He's going over 70 in the fast lane. And what is he doing? He's texting as he's driving, holding the steering wheel. Think about the idiocy of that. I mean, you are probably 50 times more likely to die in a car accident with texting while driving than you are with that by yourself from a COVID at the N95 mask on. This is insanity. These people
just absolutely have no common sense, and they are being manipulated by the media and the press that is being controlled and influenced by this regime, this administration. They are influencing people. They are attempting to hire social media influencers. They are doing pushing Hollywood speakers. They're doing all kinds of things in order to propagandize their efforts. And it absolutely doesn't make any sense from a perspective of your individual choice and your individual rights.
Boy, I got to
tell you. Well, that guy is...
Go ahead. Go ahead, Dan.
That guy presumably was an adult if he was driving the freeways, wearing a mask by himself in a vehicle. I don't know if he's going to get it from the radio or what his worry is. But think of what we're doing to children. Think about people growing up in the age of COVID and the variants. They must be in just abject fear all the time that something's going to kill them. Something transparent, something that's just floating around, is going to kill them at any moment. When they have virtually no risk, their risk is nearly zero. I mean, you couldn't plot it on a graph because you couldn't make line go far enough above the bottom.
CDC statistics, 1 in 1 million people under the age of 25 are at risk of dying from COVID, 1 out of 1 million, and that's with obesity or some other cardiological or diabetic or a fear anxiety type of a problem. These numbers are stunning and they are factual, but people absolutely, and my wife's on the school board, people still argue what they hear from Rachel Maddow or, you know, the CNN people. These fear-mongering, fear-porn media propaganda efforts are absolutely intimidating the population. And you've got to think that there's a reason for it. People have to be doing this because you are absolutely right. We are destroying a generation, both in education and developing the complex fear issues that will carry over for literally generations and destroying our nation.
It's the same. It's turning it into a religion like they did with climate change. It's a religion. The left has to wear it on its sleeve, just like climate change. They have to mention it every time. They have to do their dance like Colbert constantly because it's a religion. And the government needs to have it because they need to keep exercising control. Because once the people rise up and say, hey, we're not going to submit to your control, then they got problems. So it is a religion, and we ought to treat it as such.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I got to tell you, it's not a religion, it's a cult. I use the word religion very positively, as you guys don't. Dan, I know that you do also. It's a cult.
Yeah.
It's a very, very uninformed, nonspecific cult. Have either one of you, you're both a couple of very intelligent guys, have either one of you ever seen proof, hard, cold facts, black and white proof that the immunizations work? Jimmy?
Well, I think you'd have to give them credit for the fact that we have witnessed that the vax people tend to not, again, you don't know who to believe, unfortunately, because it's become so politicized. But it looks like the vax people have not suffered more critical stages of the disease. And so that's of real value. They still die, but it doesn't look like they're dying at the rate that they were dying without the vaccine. I think the vaccine has value, but it could also be quite risky, too. You know, I don't know that we're going to have a mass die-off of humans from taking the vaccine someday, but it's starting to look like the flu vaccines more than anything else, where they're of some value, not perfect, and that they wane over time. So that's kind of what we're seeing. I took the vaccine. I'm taking a risk. I'm trusting that Pfizer doesn't want to risk the existential threat of its company being sued into the ground, that they made their judgment. I'm going to go with that. But I can tell just from watching news reports that the vaccines are losing their value, and then they're going to need to be replaced. And so that begs the question, are we going to go through this every time there's a variant, every time there's a new vaccine? I mean, we don't do this with the flu. What is the government's answer? Are we in this permanent state of responding to every medical procedure they must have us take?
Well, you know, Dan, Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm actually, so I'm with the indemnity of the developers of these vaccines. I'm actually a little more concerned that, in fact, maybe there was an agenda that, in fact, that they know that they weren't going to have long-term effectiveness. And that's why they're continuing to push additional boosters. That, in fact, maybe that's in perpetuity, they can continue to expand and get more and more market share and then be protected by that. Because, in fact, they aren't going to be sued by you because they make a mistake right now. The government's going to take the responsibility for that. And, of course, if you go back to 1976 and you look at the swine flu debacle, you're going to find some very interesting facts. The government did a very similar propaganda push. Over 45 million Americans, we had about 180 million Americans in the country at the time. You had 45 million Americans take the swine flu. They shut down after 2 years. They got all the media hyped up. They got all the, they've got, you know, different people to Hollywood stars, Mary Tyler Moore. Apparently they used her name fraudulently to say, hey, you're going to get the vaccine, blah, 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 push it. With, I think, about 56 deaths, and now we're talking somewhere for this vaccine, somewhere around 12 or 14,000 deaths related indirectly to the or directly to the vaccine. They stopped it, and then they were sued. But it took a few years for it to happen. And I see a similar pattern here, and I see the CDC acting in a very similar way. And there's a phenomenal 60 Minutes episode that goes over an interview with Mike Wallace interviewing the CDC director on some of the decisions and what was being happening and talking to the different media hypes and the Hollywood people that they use to kind of hype the agenda here. So I don't trust them right now. I do not trust them. I don't trust the pharmaceuticals, and I certainly don't trust the people that are out there hyping this the vaccine right now that are trying to. If they're forcing you to take it, then there's some justification for them to have to force you rather than just having a good, solid reason to do it. It doesn't make any sense. And I think Senator Paul's discussion with Director Becerra, the HHS director, Javier Becerra, right now, I think is a pretty poignant argument. And if people want to take a look at that over the weekend, they may want to see some interesting theater in the Senate.
Hey, guys, to wrap this up, let me have some time to talk here. And I've gladly given you the all the time that you wanted to discuss this. I believe we have two issues that are first and foremost here. The first issue is that does the government have the right to force you to take a vaccine, or are the physicians who I have chatted with ad nauseum in the past correct when they say you do what you think is right? And most of the people who have said you do what you think is right have taken the vaccine. I, for example, say the same thing, and I've had two doses of the vaccine. But the fact of the matter is the question is not necessarily the effectiveness of the vaccine. The question is, does the United States government, many of the members who we don't respect very much because of some of the things they have done, do they have the right to force us to take the vaccine? I don't believe so.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.